When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Get ready for the best hour of your grid day.
You heard it here first. The best hour of your day on Sports Grid starts now with your host, Kevin Walsh.
One of the easy ones, Donnie, where you look at it and the complaint starts to be, how about I not bet that for more? You know what I mean? Like,
and Donnie Wrightside.
And I would like to see all the weight and anger and might of the NCAA/Big Ten smash that program into smithereens for the next 3 years.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
It's hump day on a Wednesday afternoon right here on the Sports Grid Network. The best hour of your day. You heard that, right? It is Moneyline. It's Donnie Wrightside on a solo mission. Kevin, I don't know if he'll be back tomorrow, but certainly on Friday, and what a football Friday it will be. Why? Because it's super wild card weekend, and it should be absolutely fantastic. Bets already flowing at this point for me, and I'll get to some of those a little bit later in the show, but I did post two more wagers here at WrightsideVP on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. Those bets are out there now, looking to take advantage of some good price points. By the way, I did miss on a Jordan Love prop, which the FanDuel Sportsbook had extremely low yesterday. You wait one day, you lose about 15, 20 yards. That was pretty crazy. But I did get down on a Jordan Love prop that you can check out as well. So we'll be digging in on a little Green Bay Packers. We got a lot to talk about today. And I'm glad that I'm here. And if you want to give a phone call into the show, certainly you can do that. 844-843-6879. As you know, to start these topics off, we like to get those hot reads out here on what's going around, particularly in the NFL. But before we get there, Clippers making a splash today. 3 years, $152 million extension for Kawhi Leonard to keep him in Los Angeles for the next few years. I believe they're also in contract negotiations here to try to get Paul George done as well. And then, of course, James Harden, who's actually not allowed to sign a contract until the season is over. So maybe trying to wrap up that core for the next couple of years, keep the good vibes going, because they are playing some pretty good basketball here over the past weeks. Maybe they can resurrect a season that, quite frankly, looked like it was already going up in smoke through the first 20 games of the season, but not the case anymore. Clips doing some damage, which again includes superstar Kawhi Leonard getting a 3-year extension once again for $152 million. All right, let's kick it around the NFL. Let's have some fun, because this show, and again, football season as it winds down is tremendous still. We love week one through week 18. But the playoffs, everybody comes to play. There are no games that are like, that game's going to be whack. Who's playing in this one? Who's sitting this one out? Not the case. Super wild card weekend. We got two games on Saturday, three games on Sunday, and one for Monday Night Football. Fantastic. Then next week, it's divisional round action. Fantastic stuff. Then, of course, we get to championship weekend and then the Super Bowl 2 weeks later. We've got a lot of good stuff here, and we do have a lot of money to make, but already firing on some of those wagers this week. Hopefully, we'll be able to cash those tickets in. All right, so news came out this morning. I'm going to get to Mike Vrabel in just a little bit, but I wanted to set the table here with the Chicago Bears and why I find this extremely interesting and how many tentacles the Chicago Bears organization currently has. And the reason I bring that up is Matt Eberflus is coming back to coach the team in 2024. Now, when they originally hired Matt Eberflus, talking about the Bears organization, I wasn't really in agreement with it because you had Justin Fields as your superstar young quarterback, or at least you thought he was going to be a superstar. You hired a defensive mind, and typically, that's not the best way to go about it because, number one, if you have a really good offensive coordinator and he meshes with the quarterback, well, the very next year, he might even get a head coaching job somewhere else, and he's certainly not taking the quarterback with him, and then that quarterback has to have a new, you know, voice in his ear. Case in point, you take a look here, you know, back in the day with just Philadelphia Eagles, which is always the easiest for me to go back with. Frank Reich wins the Super Bowl with the Eagles, moves on. He's the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, and you got some different voices in the ear of Carson Wentz, and he went in the toilet in Philadelphia, to be honest. Then you take a look at Jalen Hurts. Now, Hurts started off the season very good, but certainly not ending as well as you wanted it to end for him. Now, he has a chance to resurrect that in the playoffs, but again, you had Shane Steichen, who was the offensive coordinator with him for a few years, who was fabulous, went to the Indianapolis Colts. Similar path as Frank Reich here. And he's done wonders out there with Gardner Minshew and hopefully Anthony Richardson once again next year. But a different play caller in his ear for, you know, Jalen Hurts hasn't gone as particularly as well as the past couple years. So when the Bears make a decision and bring in Matt Eberflus, you're hoping that offensive coordinator, which was Luke Getsy, would be able to stick around, have some faith with them, and say, you know what? I like my job here, and maybe if I'm not a head coach in the NFL, I could find myself on the Bears for a few years, and we could do some damage here and have some fun. Well, the fact is, Eberflus now is staying for 2024, which means they fired their quarterback coach and also Luke Getsy, their offensive coordinator. So I say to myself, how did the Chicago Bears actually come to this, you know, crossroads per se, right? I don't think they just came up and said this morning, you know what, we just had a team meeting, the ownership group, general manager, front office president, you know what, let's bring in Matt Eberflus and talk to him a little bit. Oh, look, he convinced us to stay. You guys know that didn't happen. That's not the way business is run. Even though I think the Bears are a poorly run organization, have been that way for a while, even they're not dumb enough to say, you know what, let's just put this off until a random meeting on a Wednesday in January. I got a feeling they reached out. But the whole crux of the argument is, if you are a coach, whether you are an established veteran that will be snapped up quickly, Bill Belichick probably, say what you want about him, if you want to run your franchise or not, he'll probably be able to pick his franchise. Vrabel, which we're going to get to in a little bit, he'll be able to pick his franchise, quality head football coach. Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, you could throw that check at him and say, hey, Jim, whoosh, man, imagine you coming back to Chicago and the fanfare that that would bring. You were a great head coach in the NFL. Now you won your college ring. Now come and get your pro ring. There's no way the Chicago Bears didn't have any talks with anybody outside that building and just decided to bring back Matt Eberflus. Which again brings up the argument is, if they did reach out, how could you possibly have a football team with Justin Fields at quarterback, unlimited cap space next year, and the number one overall pick, and coaches weren't saying like, yeah, I'm going to listen to you. So that's number one, that's hard to believe that that didn't happen. But number two, again, was that offered to like Jim Harbaugh? I was like, you know what, that's not a good position. Like, isn't that your dream position for a coach waiting to get back into the NFL and or for a coach in the NFL to say, boy, I think I can get 5, 7, 10 years out of this franchise. It's set up perfectly for my vision and I can mold this team. I can pick my quarterback, my players, and, you know, away we go over the next decade with wins, losses, Super Bowls, non-Super Bowls. You get the point there, right? So who would they have reached out to? Do you think they picked up the phone and say, you know what? Vrabel, you got fired. Would you like to come in for an interview in Chicago? He's like, yeah, I'm not going to Chicago. Or Jim Harbaugh, fresh off of that national championship in college football. You really believe that they picked up the phone and contacted him? He's like, yeah, I don't want that job. Which would be real damning if that comes out. And there's usually some good beat writers that are connected or maybe agents who talk to each other to see if that was the case. Because if you are the Chicago Bears as a franchise and you did not reach out to multiple coaches just to gauge interest behind the scenes, you're doing it all wrong. I'm not saying Matt Eberflus can't be a good coach in the NFL, but your franchise is at a crossroads right now. And that crossroads, by the way, could be absolute greatness. Who wouldn't want to coach that franchise? The question is, did Grandma Bear make the decision to keep Matt Eberflus here? Oh, you're such a nice little boy. I like the way you coached my football team. Maybe that's the case in Chicago. Come on now. We got a lot of football topics to talk about, including Wink Martindale. It's official. He's out in New York. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
New edition! By the way, this song right here that's playing, Bobby Brown not on this track here. Johnny Gill already put into the band. How about that? Anybody New Edition fans? I love me some New Edition. Come on now. Good stuff. All right, let's get away. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. We got to talk football for this weekend. A lot of stuff going down. Maybe even we'll get some breaking news on the show, which they love to share, because when Moneyline's popping on the Sports Grid Network, we need to get the information out to the people. Now, hear me out on this. Like, I'm going to get to Wink Martindale in just a second. I see a Darren Revelle tweet, who I don't really get too much across my timeline anymore. But how about this tweet? The guys who celebrate Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick in the NFL draft, have announced the Irrelevant Bowl, featuring the worst two teams in college football next year. Bowl is looking for a venue. If it was played this year, it would have been 2-10 Vanderbilt facing 1-11 Akron. And also, Brett McMurphy says there is, quote, no chance the NCAA would issue a waiver and allow a proposed Irrelevant Bowl in 2024, matching college football's two worst teams, sources told the Action Network. A conference or team is not going to mock itself for going 1-11 or 2-10, a source said. A promoter said he wants to create the bowl with cities bidding to host the game. If there's any way to bet on this, I wouldn't bet against it, a bowl source said. I don't see anyone standing up for this. All right. So the case of this is pretty funny, though. The Irrelevant Bowl. But you guys know how I stand on the bowl season already. So quickly, I hit a, quote, tweet out here and basically said, why do we need a waiver for this? Bowl season is irrelevant as it is. Why would we add to this? And by the way, it would have been more exciting if whoever this Mr. Irrelevant company is put the Irrelevant Bowl and said Florida State has to be a part of it. Because they were irrelevant in the college football playoff and ducked their way out of their bowl game against Georgia to the tune of 60 points. The worst bowl ever for a team heading into there. So Florida State should actually sponsor that bowl game for being a relevant program. So, we didn't make it into the college football playoff here. Okay, here we go. Good. We got news. We got news, people. We got JP. Do you have the news, the breaking news feature in the back? Come on, pull it up, because I'm going to wait for this. I'm going to stall it out. I knew we would get news. I really knew we would get some good news today, and not just talking about the Mr. Irrelevant Bowl at this point. Because the Mr. Irrelevant Bowl is about to be irrelevant here, because we got a shocker, people. Go ahead, JP, hit it.
Get your hands up. Get your hands up. News, news.
There you go. A shocker in Seattle, says Adam Schefter. Pete Carroll is expected to be out as the Seahawks head coach per sources. He could remain in the organization, but not as the head coach. I knew they wait each and every day for the 2:00 Eastern time zone to make sure they release information that we can get to the people. And that's Pete Carroll fired as the Seattle Seahawks coach here. Now, that's one of those where I like this too. He could remain in the organization. That's them being nice. Hey, Pete, we're going to fire you. We're not going to disgrace you. Take this job. We'll pay you a couple hundred grand or whatever's left on your coaching, you know, money. Just slide up here into the front office. Watch the football games in the booth. If we need you to shake some hands with some big sponsors, you can do that as well. So how about that? Now, listen to me on this. Because, again, just like we talk about the Chicago Bears, you know they were reaching out, or at least, you know what, do I even want to give the Bears any props on this as if they were doing anything correct here? Like, I don't think I even want to give them any news or anything in the prop market. Like, hey, you know what? They actually did the right thing, because they typically don't do the right thing. It's a bad organization overall. Now,
let me talk to you.
All right. right, Pete Carroll. Let me talk to you, Pete Carroll, here. So he's out. So you know what this leads me to believe? Seattle is unbelievably being proactive here. They probably said, you know, because didn't Pete come out and say, like, yeah, I'm coming back? I'm like, ah, man. Ah. Now we're going to have to fire this guy. And they did fire him. But how about this? Did they reach out? You know, he used to coach in the NFC West. You know, he used to have unbelievable rivalries in the NFC West. Seattle Seahawks, San Francisco 49ers. Jim Harbaugh to the Northwest. Boy, that would be a heel turn. Like, you'd sound like this, people. Ready? Yeah. And in this corner, you know who it is. Now coaching the Seattle Seahawks, Jim Harbaugh. See what I mean? That would be great, wouldn't it? Oh, that would add life back. But even if you are the Seattle Seahawks, you know why he did this today? Vrabel just hit the market as well. Who's going to coach? Who is going to coach those Seattle Seahawks now? Who's going up to the 12? Who's going to resurrect the Legion of Boom? And by the way, as Ian Rappaport tweets out as well, Cowboys defensive coordinator Dan Quinn would quickly be considered a strong candidate to replace Pete Carroll, who exits as head coach. Oh, this is good. I knew we would have some surprises here. And is anybody out there getting this news right now on Pete Carroll and saying to themselves, boy, that's not right here? Like, no, come on. Pete's had his time. He's had his time. You know he has. Move on. Enjoy your life, Pete. Don't worry about it. I'm telling you right now, man, there are good head coaching candidates out there. Like, this isn't one of those times, like, you just got to draw on some random, you know, assistant. You got Ben Johnson down there in Detroit, is going to be wonderful. Houston's offensive coordinator, was it Slowey? Slowick? Whatever his name is, I can't remember the last name exactly off the top of my head. You got Vrabel out there. You got, could Bill Belichick? Bill Belichick! Could he make his way out to the West Coast and coach those Seattle Seahawks? My goodness. Oh, so many things to talk about now. And as I said, I would love, absolutely love, Pete Carroll getting canned in Seattle, only to be replaced by Jim Harbaugh. Boy, the check Michigan is going to have to write now to get him to go back to Michigan. Unbelievable. Because you got good franchises out there. These aren't just the Carolina Panthers of the world trying to hire football teams. You're talking about elite franchises in the NFL with jobs open right now. And Chicago's like, yeah, we're going to bring back Eberflus, so there's that. Oh, this is good. Maybe we can get more information here. But you see, you know, Twitter/X popping right now with the news from Adam Schefter that Pete Carroll has been fired by the Seattle Seahawks. That's crazy town. I love it. That's what I wanted to wait for. Like, I open up this segment talking about the irrelevant bowl. And then right behind that, we pop right away with Pete Carroll getting fired from the Seattle Seahawks. Absolute bonkers now. We are officially into the offseason. I'm telling you right now, too. I don't think this is going to happen this weekend. But the loser of Tampa Bay, Philadelphia, could we be looking at a head coaching change for the losing team? Todd Bowles can from Tampa Bay. Nick Sirianni in Philadelphia. I don't think Sirianni is actually going anywhere. It's hard to fire a coach that's, you know, made the playoffs every year, including making a Super Bowl and then winning 11 games. I get how the Eagles collapsed. I'm an Eagles fan, so change is always fun and intriguing to talk about a new head man in town. But I don't think he's going anywhere. But now the fact that we see Pete Carroll getting left go, and I'm telling you, this is going to be interesting because the question was asked to me this morning by Ben Stevens on the early line. Like, when are we going to get news of Bill Belichick, like where he's going? It's coming quickly. I said before Friday. He'll probably be out of a job as around Friday. But, dude, like, are these the moves that we're working on behind the scenes right now? Like, is this what's taking care of him? By the way, the Seattle Seahawks, Jody Allen, who is the owner, I guess the chair it says there, I believe that's the daughter of Paul Allen, writes, after thoughtful meetings and careful consideration for the best interest of the franchise, we have amicably agreed with Pete Carroll that his role will evolve as head coach and remain as an advisor. That's just translation for a nice word. We fired him, but didn't want to disrespect him by putting fired on his contract file. Make no mistake about it, Pete Carroll's fired. That wasn't amicable. That wasn't Pete Carroll walking on, you know what, it's time for me to step up into the front office office. No, Pete was fired. But that's what you do sometimes. God, it's given your organization so much, you don't want to embarrass him here. Move him into the front office. He'll be able to stay there for the next 20 years as long as he's alive and be a legend in Seattle. But make no mistake about it, Pete fired in Seattle. The NFL offseason has already begun in style. We'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And now, back to Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Wednesday afternoons, baby. This is where it goes down on a hump day in the NFL. Though it's Black Monday where people get fired. No, it's Black Wednesday, baby. Pete Carroll fired as head coach of the Seattle Seahawks. Where are they going next year? And by the way, do you know sometimes you sit back and you say, hey, when a guy leaves a job, then you see all the movies, like you get a nice gold watch. I'm probably not going to buy a Rolex, but the gold watch on the way out, maybe a little engraving on there. Thanks for your 25 years at Johnson & Johnson. Whatever company you worked for. You got to give Pete Carroll like a pair of like his own custom like Air Monarchs, right? Isn't that what's going to happen? You get him a box of chewing gum. And then you also get him some Air Monarchs of like, you know, thanks, Pete, for great times in Seattle. Relax in your retirement. Here's some Air Monarchs here. That's the way to do it. That's the way you're supposed to do it at that point, right? But Pete Carroll moving on to the front office, again, translation, I was fired, but they're going to let me keep my dignity. And rightfully so, Pete's a legend up there. Pete was a great football coach for a long time in Seattle, but it was time to move on, time to move into the next millennium here. And I think Seattle does have some things up their sleeve. Otherwise, why would they be moving on from Pete Carroll without an absolute stone-cold stunner waiting in behind the scenes here to hire as a head coach? It'll be fun to watch that play out, and away it goes. But I know that interrupted our program here, which I love. You want to give us more breaking news, Adam Schefter, on this time slot? We'll take it each and every time. You got any question marks here, people out there that you're listening to the show? You want to sound off about Pete Carroll being fired in Seattle? Matt Eberflus coming back? Or how about even our good buddy down there in Tennessee, Vrabel, looking for work as well? 844-843-6879. 844-843-6879 is the call numbers there. But I do want to talk about Mike Vrabel down in Tennessee and what that means. So now that we see the move here, right, from a head coach in Seattle, which we didn't expect that to open up, now there's a lot of jobs available. This is going to be about organization pitching the quality coaches that they want to come to their city. And Vrabel certainly is going to be one of those. He is going to find a job much sooner than later and have a lot of control in his new organization. I don't agree with him being fired in Tennessee. I do agree with the Seattle Seahawks firing Pete Carroll, because I do think you can upgrade that position there, which, again, the position is head coach. But Vrabel being fired was kind of interesting down in Tennessee. We talked about it a little bit yesterday when Kevin was with me on the show. From an inside look, I don't know if that came from Rand Carthon, but also keep in mind, right, Vrabel is a very strong personality. And just to get that out, I think he's a wonderful head coach. I think he's going to be great wherever he goes, to be honest. I really do. But let's just take a look in Tennessee. Rand Carthon comes over as the new general manager. You know who's already entrenched in that whole, you know, Titans culture? Yeah, it's Mike Vrabel. So the fact that he came over and said, well, okay, Vrabel's a coach. He's strong-minded. I'd love to work with him. We always know that, right? That's what you say on the press conferences coming in. And maybe they did have a great working relationship. But there's something about a GM that's like, okay, I got to run it by him, maybe Mike Vrabel. I don't know if that makes any sense. You know what? Let's not make this move on the 53. You want to do it, but you don't want to upset Vrabel. See how that goes here? Sometimes a general manager just wants his own team here. But I don't know if I get the sense that it was Rand Carthon running Mike Vrabel out of town in Tennessee, because the owner had a meeting and those sources speak out, which means it's probably Vrabel and his agent letting word get out saying, we didn't come into this meeting with Amy Strunk saying, hey, you better let me out of this contract because I don't want to be here anymore. We were led to believe that coming out of that meeting, where I usually go in and every organization does this, you're going to meet with the general manager. You're going to meet with the team president. You're going to meet the owner. Hey, look, let's just say, love you as a head coach, but what changes are we going to make next year? What are we looking forward to? How's this offseason going to go before we officially step away? He was probably figuring you're getting that normal exit interview for the offseason. hey, Mike, expectations are higher. It's back-to-back losing seasons. We love you. We're going to make some moves here at quarterback, but we want a game plan put together by next week. Have it on my desk how we're moving forward. Instead, he went into that meeting and actually got fired by the owner. And we got those quote-unquote sources behind the scenes with Vrabel that said this was a shock to the organization, which means this might have been just the owner going rogue, saying, I just think we need a new change in leadership, and that's the way it's going to be done here. And again, he's going to find a spot, and find a spot rather quickly. But the question also remains, there is another head coaching job out there that is supposed to be opening up quite soon. That's the New England Patriots, and that's where this comes into play. You know, you're taking a look at the Patriots, who would love to have Mike Vrabel as their next head coach. But they also, talking about the New England Patriots, I thought had their mind made up here on Gerard Mayo. Gerard Mayo is really that next head coach in waiting that Robert Kraft loves, the Patriot way. He is the Patriot way here at this point. But you know who is a living, breathing, also testament to the Patriot way? It's Mike Vrabel down in Tennessee. So now you've probably been promised the job as Gerard Mayo, the next head coach of the New England Patriots, and you never thought Mike Vrabel would be shaking loose, particularly in the same amount of time that you are going to get rid of Bill Belichick. That's what the interesting part now comes into it. Because great ownership, even if they've made promises, at the 11th hour tell themselves, I think I'm doing my franchise a disservice by not making the best move here. You should still make that change. Even if it burns Gerard Mayo. If it's best for your organization right now. And again, I can't speak to the testament of Gerard Mayo. I've never seen him as a head coach before. But the Patriots moving on from Bill Belichick and getting Mike Vrabel is hilarious. It's like you just got a younger version possibly of Bill Belichick that can stick around your franchise for 20 years. Like, that's really the way I feel. Now, Gerard Mayo might be a fantastic head coach. I don't know that. And I'm not so sure the Patriots know it. I think they have a good feeling he can be good, which is why basically he was the head coach in waiting. But sometimes you get usurped by what happens on the outside going, like, man, like, are we really going to tell me, like, once Mike Vrabel got fired down in Tennessee, his phone didn't just start ringing and it was an area code up in New England, Foxborough, Massachusetts, saying, hey, you know what? You just got fired. Why don't we have dinner this weekend? Let's talk about some things, right? It only makes sense. Man, there are some job openings in the NFL. I mean, some teams are going to get the shaft. They're just going to get some random, you know, retread slash upcoming coordinator you never heard of. And other teams are going to absolutely hit home runs. Because, and it also, if Jim Harbaugh does come back to the NFL, which would be sensational, which would be a box office bonanza right off the bat, but it also depends on who he comes back to. Like, if Jim Harbaugh goes to the Carolina Panthers, right? Like, oh, that's really interesting. Let's see if he can turn that program around. But had he come back to the Chicago Bears, does Jim Harbaugh, if he goes out to Seattle and is their head coach with Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers in that same division, the rivalry would be absolutely intensified right off the bat. It would be such good theater and such good TV there. It really would be. So we're waiting, because yesterday Kevin and I went through that whole, you know, process of, are there going to be any surprises? I said yesterday, yeah, there's going to be another surprise. Now, when Pete Carroll said he was coming back, I thought that chance for a surprise certainly would be off the table in Seattle, but obviously not. Seattle does part ways with them. So who else could have one of those surprise firings? Which is why I brought up, it's very rare you make the playoffs and you end up getting fired, but there's that game on Monday Night Football between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Philadelphia Eagles, and with the losing coach getting fired. Like, we know the Jets, you know, not going to change their head coach because it would upset Aaron Rodgers. But who else actually out there? Doug Peterson in Jacksonville? I don't know if they get rid of Doug. Even though that team went absolutely in the tank late in the season. The New Orleans Saints, could they get rid of their coach at this time? It's wildly crazy that we have some of these moves that are being made, but it's fun to watch. And I do think Seattle is a well-run organization with a game plan. Whereas they didn't just wake up this morning and say, hey, Pete, I know we had breakfast yesterday, talked it over, you're coming back, but I slept on it, and I don't think you're the right coach for the job. That didn't happen. That just means they were putting out some feelers out there that said, you know what? This makes a lot of sense. And again, Twitter's out here ablaze with, you know, Dan Quinn. 2013 Super Bowl run. From all intents and purposes, obviously a fantastic defensive coordinator. Took the Atlanta Falcons to the Super Bowl. Had a massive collapse in this game, but he still took them there. He's been absolutely wonderful as the Dallas Cowboys defensive coordinator and paid accordingly here. So much to the point where that guy was pulling his name out of jobs, which again, I don't think he was getting, but saying like, hey, Jerry's going to pay me basically like a head coach to stick around, and it makes some sense. So that Seattle job, certainly one to keep an eye on. Now, we know you can't just, it's not like college football, right? Where news just comes out where, you know, people get hired or let's just say people get fired at that point, right? You got to go through all the processes here of actually making the right decision on who that coach is going to be. Because why? You got to make sure you get out here and start hiring people before, or actually, I should say, you got to interview multiple people before you can hire, because the Rooney Rule kicks in, and rightfully so. Let's get to the phone lines here real quick and squeeze one in before the break. The X-Man is calling in right here on Moneyline in the afternoon. What's up, X-Man?
I'm coming for the win today. I got plus money, and I got a heavy favorite.
Ooh,
going with,
talk to me.
Going with the Kansas Jayhawks on the money line.
Mm-hmm.
NBA, we're going with the Houston Rockets and the Minnesota Timberwolves on the money line.
Mm-hmm.
The Vegas Golden Knights in regulation is 40-1.
40-1. Ooh, man. Now, that is a way to set it up for the weekend. A 40-1 by the X-Man. And by the way, it's theme music playing. The Sopranos, maybe my favorite show in the history of television. 25 years since that show began. 25 years ago, can you believe it? We got more football to talk about. Don't go anywhere. Keep it right here. Sirius XM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hurry back, I am yours. Oh, it's always fun on a Wednesday afternoon right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. This is Moneyline. Donnie Wright said here, solo mission today. Kevin should be back on Friday. I'll probably be another solo shot tomorrow on Thursday. But let's continue with the fun here, because we are talking about coaches that are getting fired in the NFL, like Pete Carroll, and who's going to take that job, and when is Bill Belichick going to be on the way out? Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on, which does include a NCAA irrelevant bowl, which doesn't look like it's going to be able to take off at this point, which I do find is hilarious, because why? You guys know me. Every single game that is played outside the college football should be the irrelevant game, right? I think that's the way it's supposed to be. All right, let's get to it. This weekend's NFL action. Let's get the people updated on where we sit, sides, totals, thought processes, and also weather conditions this weekend in Super Wild Card Weekend. How about this one? Miami, Kansas City, Saturday night, lines on the move, people. It's at 4 at most outlets. There's no longer any 3s, 3.5s. There also is a 4.5 at DraftKings now. And I said yesterday, right, because this is, I'm not a side bettor anymore in the NFL. It's more props. And I used to be a monstrous side bettor, used to be a monstrous team total guy. But the props are where I think the marketplace is what you can exploit and make some money on those. Like, hey, I wonder how the defense of the special team, you don't have to worry about that. Just get a breakdown that you like on a certain player in a package, and you can say, you know what, I need a couple catches, I need a touchdown here, I think I can get that and make some money. It makes sense. But Miami and Kansas City is going to give us something that I always love in football, because weather conditions, rain is always the worst. Like, no one says, hey, let me tune in this game, it's pouring rain. Like, I don't really enjoy that. But you know what I do enjoy? A lot of snow in a football game. It's interesting to watch. But more importantly, when conditions are absolutely frigid, we're going to get that in Kansas City, Arrowhead Stadium on Saturday night. The updated forecast at kickoff is 5 degrees. By the time this game hits the fourth quarter, we're looking at 3 degrees. But you do have 10-mile-an-hour winds here sustained throughout the game is what we're looking at. Winds blowing left to right in that stadium. So it will matter which side of the field you get, deferring the football or taking the football, and which side you want to have, or do you want to have the fourth quarter wind at your back. But this means that the Miami Dolphins team that's used to playing, and the joke today, Mike McDaniel down there, he's a funny guy. He really is. He actually comes out and says, you know, the air conditioning in our unit only goes down about 50 to about 50 degrees. It's kind of disrespectful to what we're actually going to be playing in. So can you imagine, like, I don't know what Miami's temperature is today, 75 degrees. You turn the AC on to 50 because you're getting ready for the cold conditions. But those conditions will be over 50 degrees colder from what your conditions are that you're playing indoor in your 50 degree temperatures. That is absolutely hilarious stuff. But it's something that you have to counter on. And how's that gameplay going to be? Like, for me, like, Patrick Mahomes isn't, obviously, Michael Vick in the backfield and or Lamar Jackson, but he does have some mobility in this game. He can move the sticks. You take a look at that Dolphins defense that is really banged up in the front seven, particularly the linebacker position, and quote-unquote outside linebacker, which is basically an edge rusher now that you just call a linebacker. They lost both of them in Chubb and Phillips. But I'm trying to gauge what I'm getting out of the Miami Dolphins in this game now from a running back position. Devon Achane came back last week. He was healthy. Was he dynamic? Not necessarily. Raheem Mostert, who I'm seeing some quotes today, is like, well, we really don't know about Saturday, which I don't think that's a great quote, pretty much. That probably says, like you saw Dylan Johnson in the Monday Night College Football Championship game, yeah, I'm going to give it a go. I'll be there. Okay, well, you're on one leg. How much of a give it a go is that going to help our football team with? Which then lends me to say, I told you guys, I liked the Miami Dolphins early in this week. I said, you know what? If that's really cold conditions, just if I can get a healthy Mostert and a healthy Achane, that should be good enough here to try to keep this game close. Because Kansas City doesn't pull away from anybody. But if I'm not going to get a healthy Mostert, I'm going to lean on a rookie and Achane on the road. And I know the Kansas City defense has had a very good season. I'm sort of looking at this saying to myself, boy, I don't know if I really want to press it down now on the Miami Dolphins. And they might be getting 4.5 or 5 at game time, and I still might change my mind later in the week when it comes to this football game. Honestly, like, I might do that. But if I'm trying to say what makes sense in this game, do I want Rashee Rice? Do I want to have a guy that's going to have like 60, 65 yards as a prop in minus sub-zero conditions? Not necessarily. I bet Durham Smythe in this game. And some people listening to the show might say, who he play for? He's the tight end for the Miami Dolphins. 4 straight games of at least 30 yards receiving. I have played in cold weather conditions. I have watched a lot of football in cold weather conditions and slightly windy conditions. You know what the easiest play on the road to do? Dump it off to your tailback. Throw it 7 yards over the middle to your tight end. You know what's tough to do in the freezing cold? When your pass rush is bearing down on you? Yeah, throw a 20-yard out to Tyreek Hill who's already on a banged-up ankle. Or a Jalen Waddle. See where we're going here? I'm going to take the easy way out in that football game. I like Smythe in that game over 18.5, and I bet it. You can see the ticket from FanDuel right there on my site, on X/Twitter, at RightsideVP. I took Smythe over 18.5 yards, because the one thing I do know is, and even if you say this, right? Hey, Don, I think Kansas City wins that game. Even better. Even better for pass catching here. And we're not asking for a lot of yards. We're not asking for 75, 50. I'm not even asking for 25 yards. I'm not even asking for 20 yards. I mean, technically I am. 19 yards is going to get that job done. And you take a look at the last, let's just go back to week 14 with Smythe. You want opportunities, which means being on the field. Obviously, we know they're electric at wide receiver when they're healthy, the Miami Dolphins. But pass routes run by Durham Smythe since week 14, 32, 23, 34, 38, and 25. So let's just say I get 25 passing snaps here for Smythe, and maybe 2 or 3 of those he stays in and max protect. So I get 20 pass routes in this game? Well, I just need 20 total yards? Come on, man. 3 catches should be able to get that done. 3 catches, 24 yards, and away you go cashing a ticket. So I'm buying low in that football game, but I just wanted to talk about it because I know you guys heard me say on this station, I'm actually digging the Miami Dolphins. Right now, I'm starting to back off of that a little bit here. Because the injury conditions worry. Of course, the used to playing in warm temperatures Miami Dolphins worry me in this game. And here's the biggest factor. Here's where a betting strategy for me is going to be this weekend if I deploy it, right? Who had the bye week? Who played hard last week? And I'm not going to start with the Philadelphia Eagles because they're going to get on my nerves as soon as I start talking about them. But let's start with the first game on Saturday for 4:30 p.m., rotation 141-142. That's the Cleveland Browns and the Houston Texans. Houston, what did they do last week? Do you remember? Yeah, they went on the road. They played Indianapolis. They had to go four quarters right down to the wire on a fourth and one to clinch that game. An absolute emotional wreck during that game all the way through because you knew you had to win to get in. And they did that. And credit to them. They're getting 2.5 points in this game. Cleveland enters this game losing their last football game. But you know why? They took that bye week with their important players. That's massive. So that's one advantage there in that Cleveland game. So let's flip it over to Saturday night. That's Miami. That's Kansas City. How about that one? Miami. You watched last week. Who'd they play? Oh, yeah, that's right. They had a 14-7 lead in the fourth quarter against the Buffalo Bills before losing that game, which was a gut punch because if they won it, they would have won the division. They would be playing at Miami for at least two games had they won. And they would have that number two seed. But now they're going on the road as a lower seed and have to do damage on the road all the way through, which got them to Kansas City playing in sub-zero temperatures. And also, the Kansas City Chiefs, they rested their key players last week. So on Saturday, you have two teams, the Cleveland Browns and the Kansas City Chiefs, that took de facto bye weeks last week, while the teams they're playing against fought tooth and nail to either win and or try to win their division last week. That's a big advantage. It really is. The other game this week that we're going to look at for a bye week is the Los Angeles Rams and the Detroit Lions. Now, Dan Campbell, who I actually like as a head coach, I like his personality. I can see why the players really want to play for him. But last week, he was in a meaningless football game and played his football team all the way through, which included losing their tight end, Sam Laporta. Probably not going to play this week. Actually, I can guarantee he's not playing this week. Who knows if he's even going to be back for the playoffs? They're playing that positive role. Well, we'll rule him out this week, but not going to be, you know, rule him out for the following week. I get the game they're playing. But Detroit, again, played hard last week, already with a division clinched. Now, Matthew Stafford and the Rams come to town. Sean McVay is a very good coach, a Super Bowl winning coach. What did Sean McVay do last week? What's the difference, he said, between 6 and 7 as a seed? He told you nothing. And he was absolutely right. And they went out with their backups and beat the Rams and ended up in that 6 seed, not the 7 seed. Which got them to Detroit and not Dallas. And now they are rested, and the Detroit Lions are not rested. How about that? How about that? Is that an angle we want to play? Because I'm telling you right now, if you out there listening and you said, you know what? Forget about handicapping the situation. Let me just take the teams that took a bye week last week and ride. And again, there's three of them. There's three games that has that included. The Cleveland Browns, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Los Angeles Rams. I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to lose money if you just bet that way. You're not going to lose any money. It won't happen. You won't. The Rams and Detroit, I do think Detroit's getting a little bit of disrespect. But again, the Rams came off that bye week. The Miami Dolphins are just a mash unit right now on the road against Kansas City and Andy Reid. We know how good Andy Reid is off a bye, even though their bye week this week was against the year, excuse me, was against the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Eagles beat them off a bye at home. But the Eagles also had a bye week that week as well. No better coach typically off a bye than Andy Reid. You know he was preparing not to play. Who'd they play? Was it the Chargers last week? Not to play the Chargers. He was already looking forward to what was going to take place in the future, which might mean playing the Miami Dolphins. And by the way, they already played the Miami Dolphins. They have the tape breakdowns here, all they need right now. They have it. So I think that is a winning strategy this weekend without getting to X's and O's of who actually has the rest and who's ready to go this week with the extra time to prep and healing up late in the season. I think there's some valid things for that. I do. Now, if we're taking a look at another aspect, it's just the conditions that the teams are going to play in. As we said, Cleveland and Houston, dome situation. Green Bay, Dallas, dome. Rams, Detroit, dome. Philadelphia and Tampa Bay, played in Tampa Bay. Weather conditions anticipated for that game, 70 degrees at kickoff, winds under 10 miles an hour, precipitation about 25%, which probably means we won't see any. Clean all the way through. Now, we talked about that Miami and Kansas City game of how absolutely frigid those conditions are actually going to be. But now we talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Buffalo Bills. And I'm sorry, I must be missing something here. I really must be. In what world do the Buffalo Bills deserve to be double-digit favorites against the Pittsburgh Steelers? Maybe I'm missing it. Because I am an old-school guy. And I always use this term like, hey, they didn't pick this spread out of a hat and just said this is what looks good because that's what came out of the hat. There's a reason why this is a 10-point line. No question about it. But who out there is taking the ball? You taking the Buffalo Bills out there minus 10 with winds around 20 miles an hour and freezing cold? Well, Donnie, T.J. Watt is out. Yeah, I understand T.J. Watt is out. I get it. I do. I might take the 10 points in that game. I just might do it. One more segment to go here on a Wednesday afternoon edition of Moneyline. Don't go anywhere.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yo, one last segment here as we close it out. SiriusXM Channel 159 Moneyline for a Wednesday afternoon. Donnie Right Side right here on your radio. Oh boy, we got that big news here for Pete Carroll. Out and about in Seattle, moving up to the front office, a.k.a. he was fired but got his incentives and he'll still be fine and have some fun going out in his retirement years, still being with the Seahawks. We're waiting on a couple other shoes to drop, which include the New England Patriots and where they are going to go with their head coaching position and who is going to take the helm for them next year, because we do think Bill Belichick is out there and where he winds up, certainly going to be interesting as well. But today, before we get out of here, let's get some picks out to the people here. I know JP is going through, scanning the books out here, trying to come up with some ways to make us some money. JP, what do you got out there?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go to that Raptors Clippers game, and let's go to a player's prop. I like Zubac over his points, 13.5. The Raptors, everyone saw them with the quotes after the game where they were really mad about the fourth quarter and how much they were getting fouls called on them. The thing was they were behind on every rotation and foul. Mm-hmm. That with James Harden dropping dimes tonight, yeah, I'll take that.
Oh, there we go. So JP out and about in the NBA tonight. Just, you know, it's interesting to me, too. Like, on football season, it's nonstop work here at the Sports Grid Network, but it's great content. It's really fun to do football season. But now as we're done the regular season, it's interesting to me. Like Monday nights, I was always on the road. Thursday nights, I was always on the road. Now this weekend, I'll be on the road Saturday, Sunday, and Monday here for a playoff weekend. We got some big things planned at the Sports Grid Network, which include Pro Football Today. Again, live show Saturday morning, live show Sunday morning, live show Monday night, which is going to be the Philadelphia Eagles and the Tampa Bay Bucks. And I'm actually going to be staying up there after the show goes off the air at 9 p.m. to make sure I can watch that in game its entirety. Me and K-Dub have our own solo party up there in Bellworks. Should be a good time. But I do have some extra time in the evenings. I'm actually watching some movies, relaxing, getting really good nights of sleep. What? That's unheard of. But that's the way football season is. We're going to go out in a bang in style and certainly in profitability, no doubt about it. Thanks for tuning in today to the program. For Donnie Rightside and JP behind the wheels of steel, the good part about the show ending today is we'll be back tomorrow. See ya.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.